Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Japan Top 10. Hi, welcome to J Top 10's Cultures episode, where we'll be talking about school life in Japan today. This special J Top 10 Cultures episode will feature a broad culturally based Japanese theme in which us, your host, will revolve a discussion around the theme and continues our mission to provide, educate, entertain, and give insightful information to you, our listeners. The music featured on this episode will be around this theme about school life in Japan today, and the music style will always be limited in scope and focus. These episodes are different from our usual episodes and focuses more on the commentary rather than our usual format of just covering music. In this episode today, we explore what it means to be a student in Japan and what's it like going to school in Japan. And although it's the middle of summer, we are taking it back to class to learn a little bit more about what school life is about and how it differs from school life outside of Japan. This episode actually will be led by Andy, because Andy is actually currently staying in Japan. So hi, Andy.
Hey, Ethel. I'm so glad to be here with you as always. I love when we get to do our collabs.
Yay. Me too.
Yay. Yes, so like Ethel said, I am currently living in Japan, although I'm no longer teaching at a school. I did for 2 years, and yeah, I hope to impart some interesting information, maybe some tidbits you didn't know about school life here, and talk about a little bit about my experience. All the while, we'll also get to listen to some great music, so yeah, I guess I'll kick it right off. Let's start with some general things and general, like, school life things and teacher things that kind of shocked me when I first came to Japan. I know it's going to sound kind of silly, but I'll give a little background first, actually. I was teaching at kindergartens, elementary schools, and middle schools in Chiba Prefecture, so that's the prefecture right next to Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And, for the most part, the thing that shocked me the most was just how much time is spent at school for kids and teachers. I don't know how it is. Like, how was it for you growing up? Did you feel like, how long were you usually at school as a kid?
I was usually at school from... So when I was a kid, I went to a Chinese language medium school, and we started school at like about 7:30 a.m. And we'd finish at around 1 o'clock, 1:30,
mm-hmm.
But then like every Wednesday we'd stay back to like 3:30 p.m. for extra classes or extra co-curricular activities. But then when I went to secondary school, my school times were really long. I think it almost matches a Japanese school student's regular hours, so it went from like 8 to about 3:30 or 3:45 p.m. in the afternoon. So we had two breaks in school.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, exactly. Like you said, the regular hours, like the on the book that they have to go, that the government tells them is, like you said, like 8 to like 3 or 3:30 or whatever it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when I was teaching in middle school, I found out that the students come before school for their like extracurricular activities. So they will come around 6:30 or 7 in the morning to do practices for sports or like clubs.
Wow.
And that isn't, yeah, it's crazy. And so they come really early to practice and then they stay really late. So almost maybe 5:30 or 6 o'clock is when they'll end their nighttime practices.
Okay, that makes sense, because I actually did a school exchange in Japan, I think back in 2006, yeah, that was, my gosh, that's like 13 years ago. Anyway, I totally understand what you mean, because I went to this all-girls school in Fukuoka, and they had this very famous brass band they were known for their prize-winning brass band. So like by the time you got to school, you could hear all of them, all the brass units and the woodwinds just like tuning their instruments before school session started. They were just playing and harmonizing and doing scale work as practice, and then school started. Mm. And then after school, they go to all their own like specific parts of the orchestra and just practice together.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't realize that you had that experience. Like, how long were you here or in that school for in Fukuoka?
I was only there for about a week, but it was very interesting. Mm. And I realized that I was a lot better at math than they were.
Oh, that is so interesting. Oh, well, that's good. You got like a little one up on all the kids. No, I will say every kid that I taught was way better at math than me. So embarrassing to admit. But that, I didn't come to teach math. I came to teach English. Mm-hmm. So that's okay, right? No.
So do tell. Share more about your experience here.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was just gonna keep rolling through and talk a little bit more about. It's kind of interesting that I also noticed that the teachers are the ones that do the coaching and things for the extracurriculars. So in America, usually, I shouldn't say everywhere, but like in my experience, I always had a coach or something that would come in, and they were like either a parent or someone who wasn't a teacher usually would come in and teach like the extra school activities. Mm. But here in Japan, the teachers like have to do both.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, it gets to be a lot of extra work for the teachers, I think. And I mean, working alongside the teachers, you could see how much it wore on them day in and day out to be like teaching all the kids from morning to night, you know?
Yeah, sounds like a full-time daycare center.
Yeah, it's really strange. I think that's why a lot of teachers here in Japan get a lot of respect from their students. Well, if they have a good relationship, you know, mm-hmm. because yeah, it's like honestly a third parent. Like,
sounds
yeah,
about right.
Just mm-hmm, the amount of time that they spend. But yeah, so I played tennis throughout high school and everything, and I really enjoyed tennis. So when I was teaching at middle school here, I worked with the tennis team, and we would practice and things, and that was all volunteer, so the program I'm on doesn't allow me to work overtime, rather. Mm-hmm. So that was all volunteer, but yeah, I can't imagine those teachers do all of that without volunteering. That is a direct part of their job, you know. It's just such a wild concept to me that you're spending all those hours plus like making lessons and correcting tests and everything.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like, I mean, like I have like friends who are teachers themselves, so they have to do lesson planning, they have to go through reports, they have to do report cards, they have to do so many things and take care of your kids. I cannot imagine like adding on top of that already and then going home to sleep, having dinner, you know, it sounds really intense.
Yeah, I knew one teacher who she would get so tired that sometimes she would just fall asleep in her car and then wake up and drive back to school and shower at school and get ready and start her day again without ever going into her house, actually.
Oh my god, that sounds horrible. But speaking about sleeping, so a lot of these students, because they come so they leave home so early, they arrive at school at like 7 a.m. A lot of them actually end up sleeping during like the first half of the day because they're so sleepy.
Yeah, that is so true. Like, it's amazing. And a lot of times teachers are pretty forgiving just because they know how like tough the schedule is.
Yeah, they are. They are very forgiving. Like, they just say, oh, let her sleep, or let this person just, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. But another like funny thing, so I worked at, like I mentioned, for 2 years, and within my 2 years at all of my schools, like they shuffle the teachers around every year. That was a concept I didn't really realize happened until I came here, but a lot of times teachers won't be at the same school for more than 3 years.
Okay, is this something decided by like the municipal council or something?
Yeah, I think it's definitely governmental. I know that it's nationwide, and so it's just kind of like, I'm embarrassed to admit, I don't know why it is that way, but it's just the system they have. And the same goes for, like, I know different government jobs, like, if you're working at the city hall, they'll also shift the different sections around every couple of years. Like, you won't work in the same place usually for more than 3 is, like, the general rule.
Wow, I didn't know the terms were so short, or there were even terms, because I expect, like, teachers to be part of a school system for quite a while. Not 3 years. 3 years is really short. Like, yeah. Imagine if a teacher just dropped in your second year and then disappears.
Yeah.
By, like, your last year. It's kind of not so cool.
Yeah, it's definitely it's an interesting system. I know that's a word that carries a lot of weight, but
yeah,
I think part of the, like, I get how it can be good and bad, because you could be in a really bad situation and then getting shifted out of that would be good, but I don't know, it's hard to make a lot of good connections and like feel like a part of the community sometimes, I think.
Wait, is it so if you taught in kindergarten, primary school, and middle school in Japan, were you part of the shuffling as well?
Actually, I got shuffled 1 year just because they wanted to change. Yeah, they wanted, I don't know why, but yeah, I got thrown into the mix, so that was really interesting. And it's hard too, because you come in as kind of already an impermanent, like I wasn't really a fixed part of the schedule, and then to get shuffled out, it felt extra kind of disorienting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose so. What else surprised you about students in Japan? School life?
I think this is something I kind of noticed. I would notice different things that would come up in like anime and stuff, but the students actually clean the school and serve their own lunches, which is kind of, I guess I come obviously from the background in America where a lot of times we have a person who will come and clean the school for
janitors,
us.
Janitors, like, yeah, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. A janitor and people who serve lunches if you get the school lunch. So that was strange, but even stranger was they don't have a cafeteria at all. Everyone eats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Everyone eats in the classroom. I don't know.
Yeah. They do. They do. I had that experience when I did my school exchange. It's quite fun.
Yeah. Was that surprising to you? Did you?
Not entirely. So when I was a kid, in Malaysia, because I went to a Chinese medium school, it's kind of similar to how a Japanese school functions. So we cleaned our classrooms by ourselves, but that's it. So we cleaned like the doorways, the classroom floor. Every student in every class has like a schedule. So we all take turns like dusters, sweeping the floor, wiping windows and stuff. But like we didn't clean like the toilets or anything. Like I know in Japan sometimes they do that. We just take care of our classroom and most of its surroundings. And we did have a cafeteria, so it's up to you. You could either like buy food and eat in the cafeteria, or you could buy food and head back to class and eat with your friends, or like buy food and just go to the field or something to hang out.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, no, it's, that's even different from my experience at school too. Usually it's like you either bring your own food or like you bring your own little box lunch, or you have to make it. I know in the high schools here it's different. So I think if you wanted the high school experience, you'd have to talk to someone else, because I did not have that. But
I did. I went to a high school. I went to a high school in Japan.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense. And was it kind of similar that people were eating in the classrooms and whatnot?
Yeah, they did eat in the classrooms. They did like disappear off to find other friends in other classrooms. And I guess they just wandered off to do whatever they liked. There is a cafeteria, sort of like a soup lady, but you have to go early because food is like disappears so quick. So most of the time they still encourage like students to bring their own food too, because there are so many students in school and it's kind of like a war zone in the cafeteria.
I see. Nice. No, I can totally get that. It seems like something that I've heard about from some of my friends who are teaching at high schools. Other than that, some other things that I kind of thought were interesting were that students usually like, or I shouldn't say usually, students in middle school and high school can only do one club activity. In the States, it's a lot different where I would play a different sport for different parts of the season, or like I would be in year-round clubs like art club or something that I could also do while being in sports. But here, students focus in on just like one thing and they're not really allowed to do any other sports unless if it's in their free time on the weekend or whatever. But even then, there's no time because they're always practicing with their teams and whatnot.
Wow.
Yeah.
That one is new. I did not know that. I thought you could just like, it makes sense then. Because most animes, you only see like a particular student in one club and only that club.
Yeah, it really was strange to me. And it just felt so weird. It felt like, I don't want to say a waste of time. It's a dedication to the craft, I know. But it felt just so interesting that you dedicate your whole school life to this one pursuit.
Okay, I'm just going to introduce our listeners to one of our announcements. So our annual listener survey is coming to an end soon. If you haven't provided your comments for our annual survey, make sure to go to jtop10.jp/survey to complete a quick little form and win yourself perhaps a $50 Costco cash card or a $50 Amazon gift card. And I'll just let Mickey make her announcement in Japanese.
Japan Top 10 では現在、リスナーの皆様へアンケートへのご協力をお願いしています。アンケートフォームは jtop10.jp/survey、jtop10.jp/survey にございます。ご協力いただいた方の中から抽選で1名様に、ペイトリオンプログラムのプレミアムプラス特典2ヶ月分をお送りします。ぜひご協力お願いします。
Back to you, Andy.
Oh, thank you, Ethel. So that is a good logical breaking point. I think we have the listeners on board for kind of some of the differences, you know. But let's bring it to our first song, actually. I picked this song just because it's kind of funky, and I think it encapsulates a lot of what I felt when I was teaching English here my first couple of years in Japan. So it's going to be Harukari with Electric Sensei, so I hope you enjoy.
Bye.
Okay, so that was Harukari with Electric Sensei. I hope you enjoyed it. Harukari is actually a female hip-hop duo made up of Haruka and Yukari, hence they kind of smushed their names together and became Harukari. and I've liked this group for a long time. The duo made their debut at a free concert put on by Ripslime, and those familiar with both Ripslime and Harukari can kind of hear similar production qualities, as they were both a part of the burgeoning new school of hip-hop that was part of the early 2000s music scene here in Japan. And yeah, so this song is actually off of their debut album, Harukari Bacon, which debuted at number 5 on the Oricon charts when it released, and it was actually the first time a female Japanese artist achieved the top 10 with a hip-hop album. This song was the second ever single from the group. And yeah, it's just funky. I think the lyrics, the lyrics aren't super sensei boy, like they aren't really sensei related, or they're not really about teachers, but a little bit. And I like they have some funny wordplay about teachers and schools in Japan, and I just wanted to use it as kind of a segue into the funkiness that is teaching in Japan.
Sounds very interesting. Yeah. If to all our listeners, so basically Andy also picked all the music in this episode. So this is like, I'm just coasting here and like prompting him to talk about more about his experience in Japan and like comparing it to my experience in Japan as an exchange student very briefly. Anyway, our next topic of conversation about schools in Japan is summer vacation and break. So, natsuyasumi and just yasumi kana?
Yeah, yasumi, perfect. No, and I want to say, Ethel, you are doing a good job. I love to hear about your experience in Malaysia as well. It's an interesting perspective for all of our listeners, I think.
Yeah, so we have like three perspectives, I think. America, yeah. Malaysia, and Japan.
And Japan, yeah, for sure. But like you said, let's take it to natsuyasumi, our summer vacation, which many of you are, well, I don't know how many of you, but some of you are experiencing right now. Yeah, breaks in Japan are very... I hate to say it, short, because I've been so spoiled in America. We have like 3 months for summertime, which just seems crazy, but now that I've lived here. But yeah, we only get a little under a month for summer vacation here. How about you? How long was your summer vacations growing up?
So because Malaysia is a perpetually tropical country, we don't really have summer vacations. So we do have midterm breaks. So there are 4 semesters in a year and basically 2 terms. Mm-hmm. So we do have a midterm break, and the midterm break is around, if I'm not mistaken, about two weeks. 2 weeks, Malaysia is the home to a lot of public holidays in a year in the entire world, so we get quite a lot of breaks at school. So like every quarter we have like a week off to celebrate some festival like Chinese New Year or Eid Mubarak or Hari Raya Idul Fitri, and we have Deepavali, and then we have Christmas. So I would say Christmas holiday, the end of year holidays, are the longest. It's usually when you're in, I guess, middle school-ish. I don't have middle school, but like primary to middle school, most of our semesters end in November, so we have like almost 2 months off towards the end of the year most of the time.
Oh dang, okay. So That definitely sounds a little bit closer to Japan's, style too. There's a lot of different public holidays and whatnot that the students get to enjoy off. But yeah, so like I mentioned before, summer vacation is usually a month here. The month of August is traditionally when like summer vacation happens here. And then there's the winter break, which like the big ones are spring, summer, and winter. And spring is usually like a week ish, and it's always the last week of March. So the school year actually starts in April every year in Japan, which is why whenever you see the students either graduating or coming into school, there's always cherry blossoms. Like, I don't know if that was intentional by old school Japanese governments making sure it was beautiful for when the students went back to school, but but yeah, so that's usually one of the longer breaks, spring, and then summer is the next big one, and then obviously here, Christmas becoming a bigger thing, they kind of roll Christmas into all of their public holidays that are at the end of the year, so it's usually a two-week break at winter break.
Mm.
Yeah. When does the school start in Malaysia usually?
It usually starts in January.
January. Oh, that's logical. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So new year, new school year. Mm. So you can pretty much guarantee that by December, even by the time the year ends for school year in November, they'll always start like the back to school sales already.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
I'm just like, guys, they just ended school. It's like, yeah, but now's the perfect time to get new stuff for the new year. I'm like, it's in January. Fine. You're on holiday now. Go.
That is so interesting, yeah, because right now I feel like people in the US are probably feeling the back to school ads and everything. Gearing up for the school year to start in like September or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, yeah, but I don't know, like, even though we get all these breaks, summer break is, I think, the one that the kids always look forward to the most, but then at the same time they don't, because I hate to break it to you, I'm sure you can see where this is going, the kids are always back in school for summer break because they're at those clubs, they're just putting in the hours to get better at their craft.
What? They grind? They still grind in summer?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Thankfully, the hours are a little bit nicer. Usually, they only have, like, a morning practice, like, maybe 9 in the morning to noon or so.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that means that the teachers also have to go there. So, unlike in some other, like in America, the teachers usually get off. And I know it's not completely off, but they get off for the summertime. The teachers here do not. They always still have to go to work.
Wow, that's kind of tough, man.
Yeah.
It's like you're on work.
Don't
they go for like festivals or something over summer?
That is exactly the point. A lot of people will take off. So the holiday Obon here, the lantern festival or like kind of like the Japanese people celebrating their ancestors.
Bon Odori.
Yeah, Bon Odori and all that. That happens in August. It's this week? Yeah, it's this week. So August, like, 9th-ish. I know I'm butchering the days, I'm very sorry, but it's the middle of August usually is when Obon happens. And so, you're right, exactly. That's when a lot of people will go home to their hometowns and things like that, so, and celebrate with their family.
That sounds really interesting because in Malaysia, the Japanese community actually celebrates Bon Odori in July.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do. Oh. I've been to the Bon Odori a couple of times. It's an annual recurring event. The Japanese community in Malaysia is actually quite big, so a lot of people do flock and have their excuse to put on a yukata and eat yakitori and do the Obon dance.
No, that is lovely. I love any excuse for people to come dressed to the nines in their yukata and for us to get some delicious fried foods.
So anyway, in honor of the push to get all of the homework done in the heat of the Japanese summer, we're gonna introduce you to this song called Wani to Shampoo by Momoiro Clover Z, released in 2011.
Shakume tsukai yo.
So that was Momoiro Clover Z with their ending theme song for the school-related anime Double J, which was aired on Nihon TV. So Momoiro Clover Z, formerly known as Momoiro Clover, has been making music since 2008 under Stardust Promotions Agency. They were originally 6 members, but they're now down to just 4. It was so Wani and Wani to Shampoo. Is this crocodile and shampoo, Annie?
Yeah, that is exactly what it means, and I have no idea what that actually means.
So anyway, Wani to Shampoo was picked up as the introduction song for Yuki Yanagita of the SoftBank Hawks baseball team. The lyrics for the song talk about stress from cramming all of your schoolwork into the late night, into the last night of summer vacation. Oh my god. And what's your favorite moment as an English teacher with that line?
Oh yeah, so in the lyrics, some of you might have heard, there's a line that goes, "Where do you live now?" And the answer is, yes, I do. So she's like writing her homework furiously and just can't get any of the questions right or anything. And I think that as an English teacher just makes me laugh, because some of my students will come up with very creative last minute answers on their summer homework. From the first time I heard the song, I just thought it was so funny, thinking about all the students, because they really do get a lot of summertime homework for like to complete over their month-long break. So it's almost like they're working not only at their club activities but also doing their homework every day that they're still in school practically.
Oh, hey Andy, I wanted to ask you,
yeah.
Did any of your students ever go to juku, which is the after school like tuition centers or something?
Yeah,
where they had—
Yeah, exactly, right, yeah, so it's kind of like supplementary school, and yeah, almost all of my students were going for one subject or another, and it's kind of interesting because some of them will stop paying attention in class because they know that they'll keep studying in juku, in the cram school, like after school, and yeah, so a lot of times, and I guess the system works that the after-school program, the juku, teaches you how to get a really good grade on the test. So a lot of students will focus their energy studying that so they can get into schools they want to go to. And then their knowledge at school. Of course, it's still helpful. It's just is kind of extra at that point.
Okay, I totally understand.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to another announcement for all our listeners. We are looking for some new content producers to join our podcast at JTOP 10. If you have a passion for writing Japanese music content, check out the positions available at jtop10.jp/join. By the way, we actually do provide monetary rewards for performance and seniority as well on our podcast. So we look forward to seeing your applications.
Yes, I hope that you will all consider. We could definitely use the help, right, Ethel?
definitely.
All right. So, in the Japanese school year calendar, immediately following summer vacation is usually sports day. So, have you heard about sports day before? Do you know anything about it, Ethel?
Yes, we also have sports day in schools in Malaysia, so, and I am highly aware and quite educated about sports day and special events in Japan because of the amount of anime I've consumed in my lifetime.
Yes, that is true. It is like a frequent, it's a must have for any school related anime or drama. No, but so I'm sure, as for those of you who don't know, sports day is a really big thing where a lot of the students, all of the students come together and they form teams. So usually how they do it is they'll split different classes into different colored teams, and then on the actual sports day, those teams compete in events kind of like the Olympics. So there's a lot of running events and a lot of different things, and some of the events are separated by age range, so they'll have younger students doing kind of more cuter events. So if you're in the elementary school, I know there's one event where they have this giant hoop that someone holds, and all of the kids try and throw a bunch, like, these tiny little rubber balls into the hoop, and it's super adorable.
Sounds so cute.
But there's also, okay, Ethel, I have to come clean. There's one event at the sports day that really terrifies me, and it's called Kiba-sen. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I do not.
So Kiba-sen is this, you might have seen it in some anime or something. I think it was recently featured in Boku no Hero Academia, or My Hero Academia, kind of prominently. Mm. So there's two or three or four students who form like a base, and they hold up a student in the middle of them, and then the students like play chicken and try and pull, like, the students who are on top. So there's a bunch of different little pods like this, where it's some students on the bottom with one student on their shoulders, and then the student who's on the shoulders tries to pull the headbands off of other students.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember the episode in Boku no Hero Academia, and also I think I've seen some like Japanese dramas that had that scene. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, it can be quite intense. Quite brawly.
Yeah, like the students get so scrappy. It is I feel like it's truly their everyday frustrations with their classmates come out. I mean, I guess if it works, like I guess it works. But that one definitely terrifies me. And usually that one, well, I shouldn't say usually, that one is only for the boys in the classes, but then the girls have kind of a counterpart, and I can't remember the Japanese name for it now, but they have this thing where there's this giant log, and there's like, or not just one, there's like a bunch of them in a row, and the girls have to, they're on opposite sides of the field, and they have to try and pull the log away from the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically tug of war, but what happens is if you pull the log away from the team that you're facing, you can help other teams. So if you have a really strong team, they can pull the log away and then just kind of demolish the competition.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What yeah. about the culture festivals? Like, those are the most common themes that I see that are very popular in a lot of animes and mangas and dramas.
Yes. So the culture festivals are interesting. They're way different between middle school and high school, but I can talk a little bit about the high school just because I saw some of the students preparing for them and talked with them a couple years back. So the culture festivals are interesting because the students work with their teams and club members to make small little shops or performances or little stands for parents and alumni and other people in the community to come and enjoy. So as well with like the sports day festival, all the preparations are done by the students, including like budgeting and getting money together and things like that. So it's just really interesting to see how independent students are and creative they get with what they want to do. So some common ideas for cultural, I shouldn't say common ideas, common things you'll see at cultural festivals are haunted houses, like sweet stands, so either chocolate bananas or chocolate covered bananas or waffles or pancakes and things like that. A lot of times students will do musical productions. I know the one here near my house, the high school near my house, did a production of Aladdin last year. Probably in anticipation for this year. Yeah, so it's really an interesting thing, and I'm always so impressed at how good the quality of everything they can do is, especially since they do all the planning themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wait, how do you actually get their budgeting and finances in? Quite curious about that.
That part, shame to admit, I don't know. I know that I think they get some help from the PTA, so the Parent Teacher Association.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, and I think they get a little bit of help from that and probably some other events that they do throughout the year. And then, so the student council usually decides how to like distribute the budget and then students have to apply to the student council for money for their, with their plan and everything, you know.
Okay, sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty nifty. I have to ask, is there anything, so you said there's a sports day in Malaysia, but is there anything like a culture festival that you guys have?
Not really in schools. Well, we do celebrate all the multicultural festivals in Malaysia in school, so there's never really like a cultural day festival. It's more like every time there is a major festival, we do like events in school to celebrate, and then after that we'll go on our festival holidays and celebrate with family.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see. Well, to kind of get us in the spirit for getting ready for sports day, getting ready for culture festival, I'd like to introduce our third song of our episode. It's Uruhuruzu with Gatsu Daze from 1995. So I hope you enjoy that. Gatsu Daze, powerful the mashi. Gatsu Daze, a sweet mo amai mo. Gatsu Daze, a do that to conjo. Oh, don't go.
モテないできない言えそうもないこの人間なオイラに愛をちょうだい会えないだけない敵そうもないこの酒神様聞いてちょうだいそんな弱気でどうすんの飲んでパッとやってトライトライトライ頭に外してフィールソーグフィールソーグ万が一禁断一メイクユーイリする前にガッツだぜパワフルダマシーガッツだぜ何はないこともガッツだぜドゥーバット根性男は汗かいてベソかいてゴー ナンバされたガッツだぜこのソウルが売るよ燃えてちょうだい行きたいだけたい愛し合いたい生まれて死ぬまであっちゅうまあっちゅうま恋をもっと腰はホットトライトライトライ嘘も方便フィールソーナイフィールソーナイグッと言って押しの一点命中するまで ガッツだぜパワフルダマシーガッツだぜスイも甘いもガッツだぜドゥーバット根性男も女も盛り上がってよ
Okay, that was Gatsu Daze. And Gatsu Daze is actually the ninth single from this Osaka-based band. And this song was spurred on by the suggestion of the lead singer, Tortoise Matsumoto, to make our sound more disco. And I think it does come through, I think, a little bit. Especially throughout the song, you can hear that they keep a hook from the Casey and the Sunshine Band song, That's the Way. in and yeah, it's kind of a funky hook that keeps the song going and makes it this pump up song. And in making this song, Tortoise Matsumoto said that he had heard this hook and felt that it was triumphant, so he wanted to make a song around that hook. And I guess this song really struck a chord with the Japanese audience because this was the first song to land Urufuruzu in the Kohaku Utagasen, which was their debut in 1996. Have you heard of Urufuruzu before, Ethel?
Yes, I have.
Oh, yeah.
The dogs are barking in my house area. Oh, gosh, wait.
They're just moved by the spirit of Gatsudaze because...
Yeah, maybe they are. But yeah, I have heard of Urufuruzu. It's quite hard not to ever come across them. They've been around for damn long.
They have been around for a long time. And yeah, I know. I think a lot of... You'll hear this song at a lot of sports days here in Japan, even through today, like all the way from 1995. So that's just the power of a good ballad. Not ballad, a good power rock anthem.
Wait, so Andy, because we're talking about high school, what are your favorite... Japanese dramas or animes about high school, or manga for that matter?
I'm so glad you asked. So I think I have to start at the very beginning of my journey with Japanese media related to high school, which was a movie called Kamikaze Girls in English and called Shimotsuma Monogatari in Japanese. And I saw this movie. Do you know this movie, by the way?
I think I do. Is this the one with Anna Tsuchiya?
Yeah, and she
it is.
Yeah, it's like a Lolita style girl and like this Yankee girl.
Mm-mm.
And kind of their strange friendship throughout high school and whatnot, and it kind of extends... I know it's not necessarily explicitly high school. There's only, like, minor high school themes, undertones in that movie. But that really kicked me off to my journey with dramas and anime related to high school. And I love it so much. The story is so endearing, even though it doesn't feature a lot of the similar tropes. But I would say the school drama that I connected with a lot was actually more recently... It was called Gomenne Seishun, and it's a drama with Nishikito Ryo from Kanjani 8. Have you heard of that one before?
No, I actually haven't been watching Japanese dramas in a very long time, actually. I don't even know what's popular anymore. I feel so old and outdated. But yeah, I totally know what you're talking about. One of my first... So... I was really young when I got into anime, so my first anime was Cardcaptor Sakura. So that was probably in primary or middle school age anime. And then as I got older, there's like Fruits Basket, and then Oran High School Host Club, and like for dramas, it's Hana Yori Dango and Hanazakari Kimitashi, and also Gokusen. Oh my god, Gokusen was like crazy. And I think Crow Zero was also similar to Gokusen, so it's all about gangsters in high school.
Oh my gosh, yeah, no, that does sound right. Oh, Gokusen is so... That is pretty nostalgic for me too. I never got super into it, but I just remember being... around it when it was popular and everything, and there's like that fever around it, so it's funny to watch anime and things and dramas now, especially after having taught in a school, because so many things in this world, like, the tropes are true but also not at all.
I guess it can be quite funny when you watch it, you're like, no, that doesn't really happen.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yes, it does happen. Yes, it's 100% true, guys. We suffer, they suffer.
And I just think it's funny, like, you'll have certain students who fit kind of those like stereotypes of students you see in dramas or something, and you're like, I never thought that I would actually meet this kind of person in teaching here, but I guess like these stories probably have to come from somewhere, you know?
Yes, I totally get it.
No, but I don't know. I think in terms of my own experience, though, I can't really pinpoint a single moment that felt completely like pulled out of an anime or a drama or anything like that. I'd say the only thing close to it would be my first year when I was here. It was my first ever graduation ceremony, and like the cherry blossoms were blooming around the school that I was teaching in. And as the students were walking out, like the wind picked up and like all of the fallen cherry blossom leaves and stuff, like petals started to like blow around, and it was like very mystical and sad and...
Sounds pretty funny.
Yes, it was beautiful, but I hate to interrupt that beautiful image I just created, but I have to bring us another announcement really quickly before we get to our fourth song. This announcement pertains to our Patreon Donors Club. So, I would like to implore all of you to please join our Patreon Donors Club. If you're enjoying the benefits of the episodes this month, then make sure to check it out. Starting at just $1 a month, that is super cheap. You can get so many good things, including a membership to this Patreon for $1 a month if you visit our website at jtop10.jp/club for more details.
That's right. So, since we're all on this whole Japanese drama, Japanese anime vibe, I'm going to be introducing you to this song by Ae Otsuka called Planetarium, released in 2005.
Going
So listening to this song brings back a lot of memories for me, because that was one of the golden eras of a lot of really good Japanese dramas. Planetarium was used as the image song for the TBS drama Hana Yori Dango, which was based on the manga of the same name. It was also used in a lot of commercials for music.jp. This was Ai Otsuka's 10th single and was her second single to debut at number 1 on the Oricon Singles chart. I actually really miss Ai Otsuka's songs. She was like the pop idol, super bubbly pop idol of my generation, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that I hadn't ever watched Hana Yori Dango, but I knew that this...
Scandalous!
I know. I think I just got my, like, Japanese visa revoked for saying that out loud. No, but I love this song so much, and this was another embarrassing moment. This was my introduction to Ayotsuka's, like, music, and I really love this song.
Yeah, it's actually one of her very iconic songs. And then there was also Peach, which she did for Hanakimi, which was another high school drama. And also, she's done a lot of good music over the years, and they were all very catchy. And yeah, I really miss her work.
That's interesting. We were just talking before recording this episode about our dramas a little bit, getting warmed up to talk about them, and we were talking about Hana Yori Dango and Hanakimi having like a lot of crossovers, and I guess, yeah, this is yet another crossover is Ai Otsuka's music.
I totally agree.
Nice, cool. Well,
so what's next?
I know, I hate to. We're kind of getting to the end of our discussion topics. I know I've tried to bring out a lot of my memories and everything. I hope I've done a good job so far, but sadly, all good things have to come to an end, just like everyone's time at school also comes to an end. So I want to talk a little bit about senpai culture and graduation for our last little topic going into the end of this episode.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Actually, I guess I can start off by asking you a question, Ethel. Is there like a strong sense of like older, you're like seniors and like people below you in Malaysia, do you have kind of that culture of hierarchy?
Not so much, actually. The seniority or differences in school are not very distinguishable in Malaysian education system. If you're 1 to 2 years apart, it doesn't matter, but obviously if you're like 4 or 5 years, you shouldn't be rude to your upperclassmen, and the same likewise, you should not be looked down on your lowerclassmen too. So no, there is actually no difference. I'm actually friends with quite a few of my seniors from school, and I also had friends in like lower grades too. So no, don't have any very concrete ones. It's just be nice in school, and everyone else will be nice to you too.
Oh, that is a good rule. That's a good rule of life to live by.
But yes, it is.
Yeah, so as I'm sure you all know from every meme and everything that has come out for the past couple of years, you know, notice me senpai and everything. I know that's pretty old, but Yeah, senpai culture in Japan is pretty strict in terms of if you're younger than someone, you will always like treat the person older than you with respect and everything. And in exchange, it's that like the person who's older than you will teach you a lot and help you along and, you know, all that thing. So even like you mentioned, like a year difference here can make a lot of, I mean, it doesn't stop people from being friends or being friendly or anything, but there's still a different dynamic between older and younger students here, and I would see it especially happen a lot with, like, well, I guess with all students, but when I was on the tennis team, it would happen a lot with the older boys to the younger boys on the tennis team. They would be really strict about, like, certain things like cleaning up and whatnot. They would make them do extra work rather than exerting themselves.
What about in America, Andy? Was there like a very strong classman system, like between seniors and juniors and freshmen?
I think, like you mentioned, there wasn't, like, I was definitely friends with people both like above and below my grade level, and so I don't see it. I could see it maybe happening sometimes with sports, like people getting, I don't know, getting touchy about like, oh well, I'm a senior, so I should be playing whatever, you know what I mean? People just wanting to get their way because they're older or put in their time, but other than that, there's not like a really, not like here in Japan where you change the way you speak and address people who are older than you.
You know, you were talking about like different classes and stuff in sports teams.
Mm. Yes.
I guess you could probably find that in like a lot of sports animes that are based in high school, like Haikyuu and Prince of Tennis, where like a lot of the younger newbies give a lot of respect to their outgoing seniors because sometimes it's their final year they can actually perform the sport and compete. So I think that's a reason why in these situations there is a very distinguishable difference in whether you're a senior or a freshman in a sports team.
Yeah, that is a good point. And yeah, I know, the tears are always flowing from the senior members of like the sports teams on their last day, their last game or whatever. It's always like the most emotional time of the year for them. The thing that I found kind of especially interesting about like senpai culture or like after graduation, even students often will come back and for special events like sports day or culture festival, and they'll come back and support their teams, or maybe they'll come try to meet teachers who were there if they've come back to the school or still at the school. And I think this is where, like, you kind of see the reverse side of the senpai culture. Like, a lot of times you just see, like, oh, the senpai is getting treated really well by the people under him, or under them, rather. But you can kind of see through them coming back and supporting their younger students and everything, and coming back to, like, try and support the school in different ways, that it's kind of the reversal of the senpai culture, like them trying to give back to the community that made them who they are.
Wow, that's actually really unique, and I never knew that. I mean, they don't really touch upon this so much in some animes, but yeah, I do see like some seniors who go off to college, they come back to support their high school teams. Most of the time it tends to be their high school teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's really sweet, very touching.
Yeah, no, it was also really jarring because I would see these students come back to these events sometimes and they'd be talking to everyone, and I just had no, I guessed from their interactions that it was like a former student, but it's just interesting to see people come back because when I graduated high school, I didn't really go back or anything, to, not in a bad way, but just it was like the closing of that chapter, you know, so it was interesting to see how a lot of students will come back and support their teams and whatnot. So, I mean, to wrap things up, I think it's only appropriate that we talk a little bit about graduation. So graduation in Japan is really, really somber. It's kind of sad, actually, compared to, well, in the States, I wouldn't necessarily say it's happy, but there's definitely, there's a sense of finality with the Japanese graduation ceremony, I think. I'm sorry to keep asking, what's it like in Malaysia? But I'm curious, what was your experience graduating in Malaysia?
We don't have graduating ceremonies.
Oh, really?
If we did, I didn't know, and I didn't attend one.
Oh, that is, okay, even more interesting. There's no, no.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're done. Because, like, in our final year at school, we have this nationwide nationwide exam that we have to take before we graduate high school. And if you pass that, you get the results, you're like, yeah, we're done. We're done with school.
That is...
Off you go.
That is super interesting. Yeah, that is definitely way different from even from America. In America, we have a proper, you know, they play the graduation music. You throw on your, I'm sure you've seen this in American dramas and whatnot, your
yes.
cap and your gown and everything. Oh yeah, that is one thing here. They don't do cap and gown, at least at middle school or I guess we don't really have middle school graduations in America usually, but I don't think they do them even for high school here. I might be wrong on that. Don't quote me. I think they just wear their either really nice clothes or their school uniforms for their graduation ceremony as well.
Gosh, you Americans, so lucky to get like caps and gowns in high school and undergraduate. I only got a cap and gown when I did my master's.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Which I did not attend, by the way, because it was... Yeah, I could not attend my own graduation ceremony for my master's, but yeah.
Ethel, don't make me cry. This is so sad. I think we need to have... We'll get together and we'll have a proper ceremony.
No, don't worry, because like for my undergraduate graduation, which I did attend, my friend made me a paper square hat.
Oh my gosh.
For me to throw.
That is so cute. That is so cute. Yeah. Yeah, but I guess to finalize our graduation, we've had a long journey talking about school. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, but I want to bring us to our fifth song of the episode, our fifth and last song. It is Miss Angela Aki with her song, Tegami Haike, Jugo no Kimi e.
しい中で今
So that was Letter, Greetings to a 15-year-old, as it would be translated into English, and it is actually the 8th Japanese language single from Angela Aki, who has seen success both in and outside of Japan. So she actually, I know that she had a small indie career in America before kind of breaking through in Japan. And so this version of the song is actually a cover done by Angela Aki, who had written the original song for the NHK 75th Annual National School Music Contest in 2008. So that was like a song that all the students, all of the groups that were participating in the National School Music Contest by NHK, they would have to sing this song and then another song, I think. And so she wrote that initially as a choir piece, and then she covered it by herself in this version. So she actually gained major popularity in both Japan and America after singing the theme to Final Fantasy VII, which was Kiss Me Goodbye.
I really love this song. This song, when I think it was released in 2006 or 7, was actually, I loved it so much, and because I love Angela Aki as well, Haike 15歳 no Kimi is like, that song is my most favorite song by her ever. And like the moment you said that this song was going to be part of your list, I could hear the opening chords that she plays on the piano, and I was like, oh, this song, I love this song so much.
Oh, I'm so, and yeah, it, go ahead.
And sorry. It means so much, like reading the lyrics for the song is amazing, because I think Angela Aki wrote this from a perspective of someone who's left their middle school life and is now an adult and finds this letter to read back on what this 15-year-old version of you wanted to ask future self. How are you doing? Where are you now and stuff?
Yeah, no, I think this is a really powerful song, and this is a song that a lot of people will go to for graduation ceremonies in Japan, because exactly like you said, it's such a, like, the lyrics are so beautiful and it's such a beautifully written song. And I know Angela Aki in her life too, like, mentioned that she had been bullied and things when she was growing up here in Japan. And so I think it's a very thoughtful reflection. She always writes really thoughtful lyrics, I think, but this one's especially important.
Yes. She's actually now back in America pursuing her master's in music arrangement and composition at a university.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I know initially she had graduated with like a master's in political science or something like that.
Then she went back to school, I think, a couple of years ago, and her entire family, like, so she got married and she had a kid again, and like they're all based in, I'm not sure where, I can't remember whether it's like in Arizona, probably Arizona.
Nice. Well, I'm glad to hear that she's doing well, and she gave us the perfect send-off for our episode. But before we completely close out, I have one final announcement. I want to ask if any of you would like to advertise on our podcast. So you can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts, reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis, with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. For more details on this amazing deal, please visit jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs. And as Ethel mentioned earlier in this episode, don't forget to fill out our annual listener survey at jtop10.jp/survey, and you can have a chance to win either a Costco card or an Amazon card, I believe.
That's right.
Yes.
So that's all that we have for today about Japanese school culture. Do you have any more questions to ask or rate or talk about or stuff to talk about, Andy?
No, that's all. That's all for today, teacher. Thank you. I will be headed home.
Andy-sensei, arigatou gozaimashita.
Arigatou gozaimashita. Too funny. Well, thank you so much, Ethel. It was lovely getting to reminisce a little bit about my time here in Japan and about, you know, school culture around the world.
Yes, it totally was. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Do let us know what you think about this episode. And Andy and I will see you on another collab episode sometime in the future. We're not sure when, but yes. And have a great summer, guys.
Yes, have a great summer. And be sure to check out the next JTOP 10 episode. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Japan Top 10. Music
podcast. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.